Hello and welcome to episode 29 and our Christmas edition of Engaging Internal Comms. This is the show for employee engagers and intern communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. Welcome to this episode. This is our Christmas interview special and our penultimate episode of season one and of this year. Next week, there is a shorter episode than usual. No interview next week on the 29th of December, which would just be me closing out the final episode, episode 30 of the podcast of season one, prior to going into season two, which is going to be at the beginning of January 2021. On the 5th is our first episode. We'll be going out for season two. And after that, we're going to be going on to a fortnightly pattern. So if you've listened to the previous two episodes, you'll have heard me say this before, but just in case, when we go into season two in 2021, it will be a fortnightly show, interview shows anyway, and then potentially a shorter episode, not every week, but occasionally between those, between the week between the interview shows, where I may just record a short podcast just with myself giving you some thoughts, ideas, just to keep things going. So next week it will be just a short summary episode, as I say, and basically it was just to really say thank you for those of you who've been listening to the show. I hope you found it really useful. For those of you who've left us feedback on the website engagingic.com, it's really, really appreciated. I know 2020 has been a really tough year for many of us, and it's not been easy for us as well, but the podcast has been something that's kept me going. Hopefully it's been a something that's kept you interested and informed, and something you've looked forward to. And I thank you for all of you who've given me some really, really kind feedback, and especially for our interviewees who've been part of the show. And I wish you all a very happy season's greetings, and hope that that you can have as good a Christmas as is possible, and a nice and relaxing holiday season for all of you as well. So if you've not already done so, have a look at our website engagingic.com. You can leave us some feedback there, you can join our mailing list, and we'll keep you up to date with all the episodes as they come out and in 2021. And if you've not joined our Facebook group already, please do so. If you could subscribe to the show, that would be superb via your podcast platform. It just helps us to be visible and just means that when people are searching for shows like this, that it will show up and as a relevant program, not irrelevant program. So anyway, well, look, I'm going to stop rambling now, and I'm going to go on to the final interview for this year. With this being our Christmas edition of Engaging Internal Comms, I wanted to take the opportunity to use it as a point to look back at what we've learned from 2020 and all of the challenges that that's brought with it from a professional perspective, but also what can we look forward to, hopefully look forward to in 2021 as we look to hopefully come through the challenges of the pandemic and its aftermath. So I wanted to take stock of all of the lessons, look into the future, look at it from a very big picture perspective, and look at what the challenges that the industry is facing, but also some of the significant opportunities that are presented to us as we look forward. So I wanted to reach out to someone who could give us that perspective. And I think you'll find that the interviewee that I've got today in the show is probably one of the best people we could have to tell us all about that. So over to the interview. So my interview today will need no introduction to anyone who is involved with the Institute of Internal Communications. It is Jennifer Sproul, who is Chief Exec of the IOIC. And Jennifer has been Chief Exec of IOIC since 2016. So it's in its 71st year, celebrated 70th year last year. The IOIC is the only independent professional body that is solely dedicated to promoting a deeper understanding of internal communication. So prior to IOIC, Jen worked in the Market Research Society and also in a variety of senior marketing and comms roles. Jen is leading the IOIC in perhaps one of the most uncertain and difficult times for the profession. And Jen is also the co-presenter of the IOIC's own podcast, which is called Internal Communication in the Raw. I'm going to put a link to that into the show notes. So, Jen, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Craig. And thanks so much for having me. It's great to chat to you today and a lovely intro as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's an absolute honor to have you on the show. And this will be the Christmas special. So it's going to be, we're all feeling all festive. I've got my sort of nominal tinsel around my head at the moment. So Jen, where are you based? I know you, but I don't actually know where you are in the country. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm based in, we're in Milton Keynes. Yes, the town of roundabouts and concrete cows. But I live in a little area called Stony Stratford, which is sort of a little historic coaching town. So just on the peripheral of it. But yes, I'm in the world of roundabouts.
Yeah, no, Stony Stratford rings a bell. I used to do some work with the post office years ago, and I'm sure there was something to do with Royal Mail or the post office, right? But my fuddled brain might be conning me. So anyway, IOIC, I know a lot about IOIC. I kind of bigged you up there in the introduction. Give us a little bit of a heads up on Institute of Internal Comms. How big is it? How many members do we have?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, IOIC, and thank you for the big up. So in terms of the number of members, we have over 1,800 members now, largely working within corporate organisations and in the public sector. So really with those in defined and specific internal comms roles. And obviously, like any sort of membership body, we do the typical things you would expect from content to events to professional development to awards. But really, our role here is to advocate, and we fundamentally believe that internal communication is a defined discipline with its own requisite knowledge and skills. And so our job here is to really help people advance to that.
Yeah, really professionalizing the industry. Absolutely. So, I mean, I know you obviously through my involvement with IOIC. I've been to conferences, and I'm involved locally with our own hub up here. But I think it would be useful. Just, you know, you've kind of emphasized some of that in what you've said there in terms of delivering that purpose. How is IOIC sort of delivering that professionalization of internal comms, and what are some of the other elements of that purpose that you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as you said in the intro, we are the only membership body solely dedicated to internal communication, and fundamentally our purpose is to help organizations and people succeed through promoting internal communication of the highest standard. So that professionalization and that ethical standard. And fundamentally, what we believe and what we champion is that if you do successful internal communication, it will create a culture and environment of mutual understanding, and it will help organizations and people form connections and allowing them to perform at their best, both individually and collectively. And fundamentally, we believe that if organizations invest in good, high standard internal communication, they will achieve greater productivity, innovation, reputation, talent attraction, and retention. So, because we fundamentally stand by that we need to make people feel that they matter at work. And if you make people feel that they matter at work, you're going to make for better organizations and a better society overall.
Yeah.
So what do we do? And how, as you quite rightly say, well, you know, you believe in all that, but what do you do to actually achieve that purpose? And so we phrase our thinking and what we do through sort of key four areas for us and how we live to that purpose. So at the heart of it, it's about delivering thought leadership and practical resources to help internal communication practitioners advance what they do and help them also prepare for the future, see what's coming, share good thinking from that's case studies, from whether that's really good peer-reviewed fact sheet content to tell them how to do their job and how to do it to the right kind of standard, but also discuss what are the macro trends that are happening in the wider world so we can help prepare our members and our profession for what's coming.
Yeah.
The other area that we do that around is that's really important to us is trying to deliver the really best membership experience that we can, whether that's again through our content, but also Craig is a wonderful volunteer to us. I know you give so much time as well as through our events and enabling people to connect with their peers, to get engaged in conversations, to actually showcase their award-winning work, to really, I guess, help build that community of passionate people that are really driving to make a difference in their roles in their organizations.
Yeah.
And then the other areas for us is driving this professionalization and ethical standards. As I touched upon, we believe that it is a unique discipline. And we do this through our competency framework, through which is our professional map, through delivering qualifications, through delivering great training, mentoring, helping to advocate for continuous professional development, but also fundamentally advocating for internal comms as a career of choice. We really want to see that people falling into it narrative change. We want to see it really start from the outset. So that's really one of the things that we think is one of our important roles to do. And then finally, our other role that we do to live to our purpose is advocating for the impact of internal comms on organizational success and working lives, whether that's through partnerships, joint initiatives, creating content, being out there on external platforms, talking to wider audiences to help them really understand what good high standard internal communication looks like. And if you do it well, what fundamental difference that can make to their organizations.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you. That's really, really great summary. And I think, I mean, all of those, I think I would resonate with me. I think the whole kind of thought leadership piece, I think, is done really well. I think you know, the community is really important. I think that's one of the things we've found during the pandemic is just being there. And I think that's something that's been done really well by the Institute. And I also think, you know, the professionalization, I think that's really important. But I really, you know, that last one is, I think, the one that really resonates with me the most, which is, and I think we started to talk about that a little bit just before we started recording, which was this idea that, I think sometimes internal communications, you know, it is a key part of it, which is the, you know, the ability to write great content. But I think we're also sort of seeing this overlap now between learning and development, organizational development, and this whole piece around being able to see communications as part of that way that we create a great employee experience within our organization, and we actually engage our people in what we're trying to do beyond just transmitting information to them. And how do you see that evolving as things go forward? We started to talk about this before we started recording, and then it sounded, it was a great conversation. So yeah, this interface between this transition from being a kind of the internal media generation department through to this being this key part of the engagement mechanism within the business, how do you see that evolving and continuing to evolve?
I think it's a really rich and exciting landscape for internal communication. And I think it's about, you know, to some degree, redefining and resetting what we're there to do and what we're there to help with. You know, we've often, if you go back to the traditional roots of internal communication, it's kind of, I guess, been thought of as more of a broadcast editorial function that is about just, as you said, the distribution of information. But communication, it's much richer than that. It's every interaction, it's every touch point, it's everything we do. And it's actually, and I think in this pandemic year, if we've learned nothing else, we've learned the power of communication. It's actually been our, I guess, our tool in the fight against what we're dealing with right now in the world. So it's about, I guess, thinking, it's not about, it is a role in newsletters and content distribution, but it's actually creating that experience and that fabric of communication that's done really well in every facet and element of an organization, from thinking about the role of communication in embedding learning and development. You know, we learn through how people share information and tell us things and dialogue and community. We learn how we are made to feel by the communication of our line managers and the way we're involved and the way we're made to feel. We learn about what's important to the organization and what's going on through perhaps newsletters and being informed. So it's this point of, and actually we understand actually what we're there to do and how we're going to make a difference by people making us feel empowered and purposeful and included. And communication, it goes, it's in every facet, in every rich element of what how organization runs every day and every minute.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've recorded a couple of shows recently that have gone out where we've talked about, and this was kind of taking it a bit. We were talking about how the line managers and how so not necessarily people who have got internal comms in their job title or necessarily in their job description, but it's kind of implicit in what they do. And we had a great conversation with a couple of people, both around the middle manager and the line manager. And I think anyone who's worked in any organization will sort of, and that conversation reinforced it about the criticality of the line manager being able to be a conduit for communications, but also senior managers as well. And we often think, kind of C-suite senior managers are naturally going to be great communicators, but that isn't always the case, as we know, because some have been promoted because of other reasons, either technical capabilities or just longevity of how long they've been with the organization. And I think it's really interesting to see how not only, internal communications people clearly have a role in facilitating great internal communications, but also that role in terms of building capability within the organization to be that conduit. Because as we were talking about in again before we started recording, that again, taking that move away from just being great generators of media. We need to be able to facilitate great conversations within the organization, and not, you know, we can't be everywhere. So we have to have a network of people in our organization able to do that. Is that a shift that you perceiving as well at the moment, that sort of role in building capabilities within the organization rather than just creating great comms?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the shift is from being a distributor to being a facilitator. And helping facilitate and embed good communication throughout the organization. I mean, we've talked about line manager as being a really big barrier to effective internal communication for many years in internal comms, for really, really good reason, because they are the most trusted source. They are the person that makes you feel or understand or take context of your everyday working life. And we've often sort of, some degree, maybe on occasion, wave the white flag, because it's a really hard and big challenge. But I think that this pandemic is an absolute opportunity to change that. And I'm already seeing that come much more through, where people are starting to talk to us about, is there any support you can give to help us embed good training within our organizations to help our line managers become better communicators? And I think it's about redefining what good management is, and organizations need to do that. And internal communicators are really right to take that conversation to those people. And as we move to more distributed working, where the line managers are even going to play more of a pivotal role, now is the time to be really thinking about making that seismic shift and helping to embed that good facilitation skill throughout the organization. And you could argue that when we've done our job really well, to some degree, we're not needed, because we've enabled everybody else to do a good job.
Yeah, it's a really, really good point. I mean, I'm going back when I corporate life, when I worked in American multinational, and this is going back nearly 20 years now, and we had a great program which was all about, it was called Advanced Facilitator, and it was a training program for middle managers, line managers, frontline managers, and it was basically training them how to, not to facilitate necessary training, but how to conduct a kind of a consensual conversation with their teams in a way that they could lead it, but they could get everybody's ideas and they could communicate what was going on, and it would be a very two-way conversational thing. And that was like, that was 20 odd years ago. And you know, I still think that was one of the best programs I've seen, and I was part of it, and I was kind of trained up to be one of the trainers of the trainers, or the facilitators they were, and it was a brilliant program. And I think, you know, kind of the philosophy and mindset of building a network of change agents who happen to be our line managers across the business is kind of gives you that sustainability, doesn't it? That I think we sometimes try and just be the, not for any bad reason, but it, you know, we sometimes end up being front of center of everything, and it's very difficult when you've not got that. And also when you've got line managers who may be behaving completely opposite to what your messages are, you know, kind of contradicting the messages through their behavior, is also another sort of side to that as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's our job as well to be, it's about, we talk about listening a lot, and it's about, you know, being plugged in and then spotting it and helping to facilitate that change.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And I think that's the other thing. I mean, that raises the other really important part, which is more and more you listen about, you know, when you look at the shift that HR took, you know, sort of again, probably about 15, 20 years ago, is the move from kind of personnel to HR business partner type mindset. And I think it's, I'm not saying that, you know, IC is behind, but I think it's about getting that kind of transition from being a true business partner to be a trusted advisor, to know the business inside out and be, you know, and I had another great conversation with someone on an interview a few weeks ago, and she was saying that, you know, I can't be an authentic communicator if I've not been in the warehouse and seen the job that those people are doing and actually spent a day with them and actually done the job, so I know how hard it is and, you know, what sort of environment they're in. I think you've got to be able to walk in other people's shoes, and you've got to know the business cold in order to be able to do that. I think that's really important as well.
It's a really important skill, and one thing that we're great at: empathy and curiosity. Some of the skills of internal communicators. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yes, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about you know, as I've said, it's the Christmas special. I want to talk a little bit. I use that as an opportunity to maybe look back at what we've learned from this year and, you know, 2020. 2020 is going to be one of those years that, you know, I remember I saw something on Facebook the other day, and it was saying, it was like a kind of picture of a sort of New Year's Eve, and, you know, saying to think we were all out sort of partying on sort of, you know, December the 31st, 2019, like, so, you know, really looking forward to 2020 and like, you know, what a disappointment it's been. But no, so yeah. being realistically optimistic, and I know it's been, you know, we were talking, it's been a tough year for you know, it goes without saying, it's sort of saying, stating the obvious, but looking back over 2020 with a kind of optimistic frame of mind, what are some of the big things that you think we've learned as a profession, and you know, maybe IOIC have learned as an organization as well, when we look back at everything, you know, the kind of ravaged landscape that is 2020, what are some of the things that we can pick out that have been sort of positives in terms of what we learned as a profession?
I think there's so much that we can pick out in terms of positives and what we've learned. And we've certainly, as IOIC, seen that everyone feels quite positive about what this pandemic has done for the future of internal communication and how its perceived role is in the organisation. I think some of the positives, I think a massive positive we can take away from this is that we're all learning about technology and what it can do and how we can utilize it and how we can really reframe. To some degree, we've never had such a blank sheet of paper to define a new future, to really, and we've never had so many open ears to seeing, actually, maybe I should bring in that internal comms person because they will really help think me through. Going back to that point we were just talking about being more of a consultant, not just a doer or a tactics person. We're starting to be really seen in that. So we're really understanding the power of technology. We're understanding how we can use it in the most smartest and cleverest of ways to try and create that community, that connection, that dialogue. I think that those learnings will continue for some time, so we can really start to leverage and create what is going to be really great organizations to work for. And what that comes with it is really thinking about that parity of experience for everyone. If you think back, you know, we've always talked about remote workers, so that's just too challenging. We don't think about it. Now we're all the same. Now we're all remote. We're all thinking in this new way. So we can kind of stop thinking of things in groups and think about things as a collective, sit back with a new understanding of technology and really start to build those bridges and create a really, really new future. Yeah. I think the positive with that as well is that we've really also got the ear of leadership and more trust, and we are more embedded within our organizations. I think we probably can certainly have more conversations with key stakeholders than we've ever had. So there's a real opportunity to get ourselves really embedded into those key areas of the business and set a new strategic direction for what internal communication is there to do. Because organizations, they're all going to be going through seismic shifts, from how they work to how they make money to what they sell to what they do to how they innovate to how they actually have rewarding and experience-rich roles for their people. So we have a real opportunity with our abilities and our skills and our increasing understanding of what our employees need, because we're plugged into the listening as well, to really set a new future, to maybe argue for that, dare I say, investment in the future, whether that's investment in our tactics or investment in our teams and in our skills, to show that actually if we do this right and do this well, the difference it can make. And I think that because we have those skills of being more strategic, we have that people understanding, we have that ability to understand what content and community resonates for different people and in different ways, and how we can make human experiences perhaps in a more virtual world. And we have that ability then to really influence our stakeholders and our advisors. We can really start to shape our own future and our own narrative in a more plugged in way, with greater skill and understanding of our employees and of our assets and tactics, and combining all of that together.
Yeah. Definitely. I think, you know, I totally agree. And I think the other thing is, you said we've learned how to use technology. I think we've also learned how not to use technology as well. It's really interesting to see how, well, it's kind of like the initial euphoria of, oh, we can all use Zoom or we can all use Microsoft Teams. And isn't it great? You know, and then it was like the honeymoon period ended and everybody was kind of like, yeah, but I've got like, I'm staring at this screen for like 9 hours a day. I've got no time between meetings because I've not got to travel anywhere. Everybody's just kind of filling my diary. And then, you know, everybody was kind of, so, I mean, from that perspective, I think from a kind of just, that's maybe more from an operational than a comms perspective. But I also think we learned that, you know, some of the stuff we've maybe been doing in the past actually it's we're questioning whether that is, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on technology, obviously, and it's great, and use of social media and that sort of thing. But I think it's also proven, I think it's also made us realize that we still do need that human to human connection, don't we? And I think we're all, again, I was using the analogy before of, you know, a bit like submarines. You know, you could probably like survive for a few weeks on a submarine, but after a few weeks you're going to be like, I really want some fresh air, and I'd really like to be able to like sort of get out and see the sunlight again. And it's a little bit like that, I think, with kind of human relations. And I've sensed a lot of that going on, where people have saying, yeah, but we still need to get people together at some point in the future to actually talk to each other. I don't know, do you agree with that? Do you agree?
Absolutely. And well, I think it's about understanding the use of technology. We've learned a lot about, but we've also, as you quite rightly said, learned about the power of emotion and the power of empathy and the empowerment of really building in those kinds of moments of connection. And I would absolutely agree with that. I think that we've learned how to use technology, but I think we've always known the power of the human connection, the power of tone, the power of language, the power of how we do things. But I think we just had a better ear to seeing, to people understanding its importance. We've finally been able to say to a leader, don't use a script.
Yeah.
In a human and authentic way. Let's look at our tone. Why are we doing like that? We've learned the power of informality, the power of making people feel like they're included and they're worth it. And it's about, I think, when we come together and we look to the future, how do we combine all of the technology, the power of human and emotion, when we get back to whatever hybrid world we may potentially live in, how do we design a new world that balances all of that out?
Yeah.
And how do we keep that momentum of empathetic and honest and transparent leadership, which is really kind of been quite a really, really big win, I think, for this year.
And I absolutely. And building on that, I just hope, you know, building on that appreciation of the value of connectivity and human connectivity, I hope we don't, you know, waste those opportunities like we may have done in the past with, you know, like a kind of, I know, let's sit them all down and sit them through night, you know, 10, you know, 2 hours of PowerPoint or whatever, you know. I think we're going to hopefully see that actually that time is really precious, and we may not have as much of it as we had in the past because of, you know, we've embraced hybrid or virtual working. And then when we do get to people together, let's make sure it really, really counts for something, and we use that time to optimize it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we'll see dialing down of some things and dialing up of others. I think it's like we've got two dials and we're trying to turn them to find the right balance.
Yeah. And I think that's a good analogy. And I think that finding what works and being prepared to make a few mistakes. And I think that's the other great thing. One of the other positives is that we learned that, you know, there isn't fate, you know, it sounds cheesy, but there isn't any, you know, it's okay to fail. It's because I think it's allowed people to be a lot more innovative, in that people are a lot more forgiving if it doesn't work as well. And I think that's really a positive, because I think often we're too scared, you know, it has to be perfect, and we spend all that time perfecting it and actually never actually get it out there, because it's obsolete by the time we actually get it into people's hands. So I think that's good as well. Just this point around the place at the table and the kind of trusted advisor thing, because I think that is a really, really important part. I mean, I'm not being cynical, or I'm not being, you know, pessimistic perhaps, but I'd be interested to get your point of view on this. One thing that does worry me is that again, this might be a bit cynical, is that, you know, it's like, okay, thanks a lot, we don't need you now, because we've kind of, the pandemic's gone away, and we need to be focused on the bottom line, and all that people stuff was great when we needed it. I mean, that's me being, you know, as I say, maybe a bit bitter and twisted from things I've seen in the past. I mean, do you have any kind of worries about that in the back of your mind, that we might be, that we kind of suddenly forget all the great stuff we've learned, and how do we make sure that doesn't happen? Is that something that you've thought about?
Yeah, I have thought about it, and it does worry me for this, you know, that we lose this moment in time, because I think we have forever the biggest blank sheet of paper to show our strategic value in that way. And it worries me that we will run back to our, you know, because I guess to some degree we're exhausted as well as
interesting.
We are, you know, we are running out of gas in our engines, you know, and we're doing so much on so few people that we also just need a little moment to breathe. And I think that there is that worry that we can't, you know, how can we keep going at this pace? But I think that there is a, if we can reframe this and find a way of seeing the opportunity and keeping that dialogue going, that's really where we become, and we can really utilize this. It's about going back to that piece of being known as that consultant in the organization. As you quite rightly say, you know, some of the leaders might be going, oh, well, I don't need the comm stuff now. I've got to get back to the bottom line. Well, how are you going to achieve that bottom line?
Yeah.
To the people?
Yeah.
So how do you want the people to work, and how can we enable innovation and productivity to flow in a new and how we do things differently? I think if we can come in and pick up what are the next set of challenges for the organization, because communication plays a role in every challenge. Mm, nothing can be done without it. Otherwise, we're all sitting here in silence and not moving forward. So if we can plug into that understanding and build those relationships, and I think it's about sitting down and then with those stakeholders that go, so what are you working on now? What's the big thing? And I think change comms is a massive opportunity. Absolutely. Change is going to happen at every level, and we can become our own catalysts of change. So it's about really keeping to build on that narrative that communication is part of your solution, and I will help you with solutions. I will help solve your problems, and showing that and listening to that and bringing that to the table. So there's no way that an organization is going to be able to, dare I say the word, pivot or change or move without embedding good communication practice into that. We just need to get involved and keep those dialogues to show our solutions to that.
Absolutely. And I also think it's a recognition that people's perspectives have changed. And if we just go back to just the usual, you know, the same old that we were doing this time last year, without recognizing that people have, a lot of people have been through, you know, whether you've worked through it, and, you know, you've been in a role where you've not been either furloughed or working from home, or you've kind of have been furloughed or working from home. I think all of us have had our perspectives changed, and for people to sort of be tone deaf and just go back to talking about what was important, you know, in 2019, without recognizing that a lot of us have been probably reevaluating what we're doing with our lives into a certain extent, and, you know, what's actually really important to us versus what we think's important to us. So I think, you know, organizations, leaders need to recognize that the audience has changed, and therefore the approach needs to change. And yeah, and I'm not just talking about from a comms perspective. I'm just talking about leadership styles, culture, all sorts of things. And, you know, I think we have set a lot of expectations for people that things are going to be different, and we are going to do things, try and do things better or differently in the future. So, yeah, I absolutely, and I think we've got, I see people definitely have a role in being the advocate for that different approach to doing things in the future. So that's that's the looking back bit then. So we've kind of looked back, and I think, yes, technology, place at the table. Anything else that you would say from 2020 that you take away as, I mean, from an institutional perspective, I'd be interesting just to, you know, if you could pry there as to, I know it's been, you know, it's been a challenging year for the Institute in terms of, you know, it's a lot of the events that you would normally run have not been able to. I mean, how is that? What from the institutional perspective, what have you learned from this year, do you think?
I think we've certainly learned the importance of community, the importance of doing the right thing, the importance of enabling people to connect and share. And, you know, we hear lots of examples at the moment of the power of internal and external, actually the inside out reputation and all those sorts of things. And I think that, yes, we have lost significant revenues that, you know, we are managing in the background. But fundamentally, what is important and what we've learned is, if by doing the right thing, by enabling people to connect, by having open, honest, and just being human and informal, and not, you know, being quite so stiff sometimes, is really, really important. And if you do the right thing, people will be committed and stay with you, and that loyalty remains. And then, you know, hopefully when we come out the other side, we'll have a whole new balanced approach to how we do things and what we do. And certainly it's, like many organizations, accelerated a number of things that we were thinking about in the future. But we've just moved at such a pace that, you know, we've learned so much so quickly. So I think that there is lots more opportunity for us to really think that through. But the power of community, the power of connection, the power of being a good organization, a good brand, a good one trying to make a difference. And that's going to be even more important for the future in organizations as we look at issues like climate change, the importance of purpose, the importance of those brands that have given back to society, have seen their employee stories shine through. They've become their own press agents in that regard, and they've built up reputation and loyalty also from their customers. So the two go side by side. So I think we've learned a lot about that, the power of being a good organization.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm slightly biased because I'm you know involved, but I do, you know, I said again before we started recording, I think from what I've seen IOC really being visible, really being present, doing the right thing, you know, standing by people, helping them, supporting them, and I think, you know, I think that stands you in good stead for the future, as you know, people will hopefully remember that as someone you were there. You didn't just kind of disappear and into the background, and so
that saying is that we remember how people make us feel.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, without kind of repeating what we've already talked about, you know, we, time of recording, you know, it's been announced that there's potentially some light on the horizon in terms of, you know, a vaccine, and you know, fingers crossed that will transpire and it will work, and it'll you know take time, but it will mean there's some side of semblance of normality. So next year, assuming that is the case, into 2021, as we kind of climb out of our foxholes and the sort of firing has stopped, as it were, and we're kind of assessing this landscape that we've got ahead of us. I mean, what are your thoughts for 2021, both from an institutional perspective, but also from a professional perspective? And you're probably building on some of the things that we've already talked about, but what are your thoughts for next year? What are you kind of hoping for, looking forward to, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think, I'm excited I think on all the team IOIC as well, we're excited to take a step back and reflect on what we've really done well at the end of the year. And I think everyone should do that. And I think we're excited to take those learnings into next year and think about how we can reimagine a better institute that's more accessible to as many people as possible, that is more varied in the way it does things. So we're very much hoping for that mixed year of delivery. Fundamentally, we want to build on our learning of community. So one of the things that we're really trying to build on next year is to bring that sense of community into our digital offering and our virtual world, so that people, right, when they've got a problem, we can be more people to help problem solve, and we can help people share challenges. And we want to keep with those conversations and those informalities. But we hope eventually at some point to blend that with some more face-to-face. It won't be going back to what it was. It will be more of a split. And it's also probably going to be a time, and many organizations will feel this, when we'll start to put out that mixed model and you'll just see what people lean towards.
Yeah.
Let people lean to where it works for them and listen to that and learn to that. So we might bring back face-to-face, for example, and virtual learning, which is a very different format. And it just be interesting to see where people lean to. But we definitely want to still bring back that celebration and that physicality and that connection through our regions and through our events next year. But we also want to make sure we keep helping with community, and knowing that if people come to us, we're there to help them, and we help to problem solve and give the very best advice that we can.
Yeah.
I think from a professional level, in terms of internal comms and what we're thinking about, I guess you could look at it from a content point of view, is, I mean, I've been talking about it pre-COVID, actually. We started to talk about the future of work, because there was lots of big trends that were really, really happening. So we want to really kind of start to delve down into some of those topics and think about how we can start to reimagine a new future, and then alongside the future of work. We've got many, many things happening, from organizational design, development, leadership, culture, tonality, technology, on-demand working, flexible working. We've got the importance of inclusivity and diversity that we need to address. So for us, we really want to explore some of those really big topics and give real practical insights. We start a little bit on leadership, and line manager is going to be a big area for us.
But
more so around how we can help understand the long-term goal, and how we can then imagine, so what is a good future of internal comms? What's the future we as a community want to design for ourselves? So we want to have lots of conversation around that and help people really advance their skills to meet that, from whether that's their own abilities to coach, to embed leadership training, to think about how they use technology, to building their behavioral on their insight and their measurement understanding, because we know the importance of evidence. So we really want to kind of cover all those kinds of areas in terms of the big thinking, but then make sure we support that with practical guidance and conversation. Mm.
That's fantastic. I mean, I think it's great that you know, I think it'd be very easy to just fall back to a, you know, rebuilding type mindset and getting back to stability and normality. But I think what you've talked about there is actually, it's getting on the front foot, isn't it? And it's actually going beyond just the sort of, you know, the next 12 months or however long it takes to kind of rebuild, but to actually say, no, what are going to be some of those big societal, you know, workplace issues that we need to be talking about, engaging with, and being sort of on the front foot for as a community. And I think it's really, really refreshing to think about that.
And we're also continuing our work as well to make sure that we bring in that new wave of talent. We're doing lots more university work, much more working with our I Choose I See campaign as well. And we want to also, as well on our agenda, make learning accessible to everybody. And I think that's an important role for an institute to play as well.
Mm. Brilliant. No, that's fantastic. Well, look, that's been really, really refreshing, Jennifer. Really great conversation. Great to talk about, you know, both remind me about what IOIC is all about, because, you know, those four principles you talked about right at the beginning really, really resonated with me. And I kind of knew them, but it was like a revision thing. but also, I think really useful to sort of look back at, you know, not seeing 2020 as a write-off, you know, having a kind of growth mindset and thinking, actually, there's a lot of things that we can take out of it. And you know, all sort of cataclysmic events usually lead to some, you know, kind of innovation and change, which is for the good in the long run, although it doesn't feel like it at the time. And obviously taking out the sort of personal sort of tragedies that have happened this year as well, but also then looking and leaning into the future and looking at a kind of really forward thinking approach to the profession and how we're going to take it forward, I think is really, really, really kind of gives me a sense of feeling we're in good hands as a profession anyway, regardless of where it, yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's brilliant. It'd be great to sort of finish off, as I always do with my interviews, and I did kind of forewarn you on this, Jen, about, you know, something that, and you acknowledge the fact that you're a kind of, you are a kind of person who lives your life in the outside world. You're very kind of wear your heart on your sleeve, and you're very, very kind of, you know, easy to get to know, but also you kind of share stuff openly. You're very, very open. But so it's going to be quite difficult, I guess, to find something that generally people don't know about you. But anyway, I know you've given it some thought. Over to you. Yeah.
No, I'm just going to pick up on your comment as well about heart must even. I remember, you know, because my family, as a child growing up, my brother was a very mathematician and wrote lots of smart people. And then my mum used to describe, well, she's the one with the personality, even if she can't spell.
Very nice.
I guess something, I don't know, this is an early career. When I first came out of uni and I was sort of hunting around, I actually spent some time selling environmental consultancy. So I used to sell asbestos surveys. So I can talk a lot about asbestos if you want to know about it, and chimney monitoring.
Yes.
So I used to spend my days in steel tap boots and hard hats on roofs of big buildings, helping to assess asbestos and environmental consultancy issues. I quickly realized that wasn't for me. I didn't enjoy the hard hat and the steel toe caps. But yes, I do know quite a bit about environmental consultancy.
Well, that's very interesting. And I also used to wear hard hat and hard boot and safety boots, because I used to be I used to go onto building sites and drill boreholes, not personally, but I used to manage the guys and monitor what they were drilling. So and we sometimes would come across asbestos in kind of, you know, artificial ground or made up ground, as we used to call it. So we've got something in common there. So
there
we both had there you go,
you see. You cry in your ammo.
Exactly. Yeah, fantastic. So that's brilliant. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing that one with us. I think we need to get some photographs of you back in the day with your kind of your rigger boots and your hard hat. So look, absolutely fantastic. Where can, I'm going to put links in the show notes to obviously to IOIC. I'll put the links into the new podcast. I'll put a link into your LinkedIn profile if anyone would like to reach out to you. Any other ways that people can connect with you, Jen, that you're happy for me to share?
Also, you can feel free to put on my email, which is jennifer@ioic.org.uk. I'm very open to anybody that ever has any question or query to get in touch. And also as well, if anybody's listening that has sadly lost their job or anything due to COVID-19 and internal comms, we are running still a 6-month free membership offer for those people. So I just want to make sure people know that there's ways to get support should they need it. But if they need anything, always feel free to get in touch directly.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, it's a really good reminder actually as well. I think again, it's another example of you know, kind of being there and standing by people when they need you. So yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, look, it seems very premature because when we're recording to be saying this at the time of recording, but happy Christmas. But I need to say that because it's the Christmas special, and I do and all the best for the new year. I'm when you were saying earlier, I keep having this kind of what's it going to be like when we can all sort of, you know, come out and we're all sort of looking around and go, can we hug each other now? Can we actually go up and sort of shake hands with people now? You know, we can actually be in the same room and we have to worry about social distancing. And it's going to be like really weird, isn't it? Everybody's going to be a bit kind of desocialized for a while. And then I'm sure we'll get back into the flow of it. But it's going to be amazing when we get that first conference or whatever it is, when we're all there together and we don't have to mess about with all of this stuff. It's going to be fantastic. And just kind of carrying me through at the moment, that thought.
Absolutely. And you know, we hope to have, you know, return to a big conference in the autumn next year. And one of the joys of my job is to get out there and meet people face to face, and not being able to do that has definitely been challenging. So thank you too, and have a wonderful Christmas, and hopefully, Craig, we can actually meet in physical person. Yes. And maybe, like, you know, come within 2 meters of each other in the new year.
exactly. No, well wonderful. Thank you very much for your time, Jen. Thanks very much for your insights and all the very, very best.
Lovely. Thanks, Craig.
Ideally, everyone in your organization would be on the same page. They'd be facing in the same direction and towards its vision and goals. However, in today's fast-moving world, as we all know, it can be really hard to get employees to see the big picture. For example, what are we aiming for? How are we going to get there? And how does my role contribute? When your employees don't see the big picture, they can make the wrong decisions, they may feel less of a sense of belonging, and they may not fully contribute towards your organization's objectives. So how do you consistently put large numbers of people in the picture in a way that helps them understand what your organization is trying to achieve, but also do that in an engaging and effective way? At the Big Picture People, we combine visualization, discussion, and interaction to fully engage your employees in the organization's big picture. We create light bulb moments for your employees, and we bring your values, your strategies, your objectives, and your change processes to life in a really rich, clear, and visual way. We also show your employees the complexity of the world that you're operating in and how their role contributes towards organizational priorities. So if you see the value of putting your people in the picture, head across to thebigpicturepeople.co.uk and book a free 30-minute consultation call via the link on our homepage. So thank you very much for listening to Engaging Internal Comms. We hope you found this episode useful and interesting. We'd love to get your thoughts about the show and any questions you have or ideas for topics that you'd like to maybe cover in future episodes. You can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can get in touch with us via the contact form at engagingic.com. You can also sign up for our mailing list there, and we'll send you relevant news about the show, future episodes, and we'll also let you know about anything interesting we found out about internal communications and employee engagement. If you like the show and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to it via your podcast service, and you can also subscribe via the links on our podcast page, which again is engagingic.com. If you like the show, we'd be really grateful if you could leave us a review, and if you know anyone else who might be interested in the show or might benefit from it, please let them know. Please share it with them and share them with them the links to the show and engagingic.com. Thank you very much.